Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me now. Fall fire. Fall
everybody to a new year, 2023. That's right, we're going to wake you up. This is MPH Radio. We hope everybody had a happy new year, a happy Kwanzaa, and a great Christmas, and any other holidays that you may have celebrated. We welcome you to a new year, 2023, where we hope to be as productive, if not more, than 2022. This is the voice of MPH Radio. And like always, we are here to serve the underserved communities and to continue filling in our missing pages of history. Our theme today is bringing in the new year 2023. That's right. We bring in the new year 2023 with a just cause and a just struggle. The lineup of the order for this program today will consist of giving you something to think about as we talk about freedom. Like many facts, we have an update in the political prison movement. Special guest, Brother Bilal. Followed by a discussion dealing with the indigenous movement with Brother John Standback and Sister Sheila Hansen. And that will be followed by a discussion or a message for Emmanuel Joyner. And of course, we'd like to have your comments and questions and views as we take on the subject theme today, which is, again, bringing in the new year, 2023, with a just cause and a just struggle. Welcome to MPH Radio. So at this point in time, what we're going to do is to give you something to think about. That's right. We want to start off this new year to give you something to think about. And that something is we're going to talk about what is freedom. Well, if you talk to Serena Williams, she defines freedom in the context of, I am lucky that wherever I feel, I have inside me my desire to win is always stronger. I repeat again, her concept of fear is, I am lucky that whatever fear I have inside me, my desire to win is always stronger. What you think about her concept of fear? Let's go to Jackie Robinson. He once stated, life is not a spectator sport. If you're going to spend your whole life in the grandstand just watching what goes on, in my opinion, you're wasting your life. Repeat. Brother Jackie Robinson stated that life is not a spectator sport. If you're going to spend your whole life in a grandstand just watching what goes on, in my opinion, you're just wasting your life. And the last concept of freedom would come from Shirley Chisholm. She stated, if they don't give you a seat at the table, bring a folding chair. If they don't give you a seat at the table, bring a folding chair. So we are just giving you three concepts of freedom from various freedom fighters. What do you think about these concepts and how do they fit into your reality of freedom? So, you know, freedom is a concept that many people have fought and died and continue to die over. So it would be a wise thing for us to understand and for you to understand just what is this thing we call freedom. This is how we're going to start out our new year, 2023. Yeah, at this point in time, we're going to ask you to get your pen or pencil and your paper. We're just going to share with you just a little bit of your history. As Susie from MPH Radio will share with you for this week some MPH Black Mini Facts. We'd like to welcome Susie to MPH and wish her a happy New Year. And Susie, the mic is now yours.
Good evening and happy New Year to all our listeners. The first one I'm going to do is an educator and abolishment. Lucy Staddon was the first black woman to graduate from college. She completed a ladies literary program and graduated from Oberlin College in 1850. Her commencement speech was an appeal for anti-slavery. That's your first mini fact for the week. The second one is George Crumb Speck, a chef and restaurant owner, is said to have created the potato chip by accident during the summer of 1853. However, his sister Kate claims she actually created the chip after a potato slice fell into a hot frying pan, creating the famous Saratoga chips. Crumb's chips remained a local delicacy in New York until the 1920s, when a salesman named Herman Lay, yes, of Lay's latest chips, began traveling throughout the South and introducing potato chips to different communities. The next mini fact is from a female Buffalo soldier, which is Cathay Williams, was the first and only female Buffalo soldier. Williams was born into slavery and worked for the Union Army during the Civil War. She posed as a man and enlisted as William Catley in the 38th Infantry in 1866 and was given a medical discharge in 1868. And the last mini fact for this week is Alexander Miles, elevator design made riding on elevators safer. Previously, elevators were operated manually. People had to consciously open and close the doors of both the elevator and the shaft every time. In 1887, Miles obtained a patent for his invention, including a flexible belt attached to the elevator's cage, allowing the doors to function automatically. He was inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame in 2007. I've just given you four mini facts from the sources of the blackpast.org, excuse me, National Park Service, and National Inventors Hall of Fame. Those are your black mini facts for Saturday, January the 7th. 2023.
We'd like to thank you, Susie, for your black media facts. And at this point in time, we're going to take a station break with music with a message. And when we come back, we're going to start out this new year in terms of not forgetting about our heroes and sheroes and our political prisoners. We have with us Brother Bilal. He will come and share with you and give us an update on our freedom fighter, Iman Jamil Al-Amin. But right now, let's listen to some music with a message. This is MPH Radio.
Change? I guess change is good for any of us. Whatever it takes for any of y'all to get up out the hood, I'm with you. I ain't mad at you. Got nothing but love for you. Do you think, boy?
All the homies that I ain't talked to in a while, I'ma send this one out for y'all, know what I mean? Cause I ain't mad at you. Heard y'all tearing up shit out there, kicking up dust, giving a mother up. Yeah, because I ain't mad at you. Now we was once two, the ends of the same time. Quick to holler at a hoochie with the same line. You was just a little smaller, but you still roll. Got stressed to YA and hit the hood swole. Remember when you had a Jerry curl, didn't quite learn. On the block with your Glock, tripping on Sherm. Collect calls to the tilt, saying how you changed. Oh, you a Muslim now, no more dope games. Heard you might be coming home, just got bail. Wanna go to the mob, don't wanna chase tail. It seems I lost my little homie, he's a changed man. Hit the pen and now no sinning, miss the game plan. When I talk about money, all you see is the struggle. When I tell you I'm living large, you tell me it's trouble. Congratulations on the wedding, I hope you're right. No, she got a player for life, and that's no issue. I know we grew apart, you probably don't remember. I used to be for your sister, but never ever, ever. And I can see us after school, we bomb. On the first one, up with them, with the bomb. But it's on, now the whole is changed. And we don't even kick it, got a big money scheme. And you ain't even with it. Knew in my heart you was the same, up with them, you're bad. Go toe-to-toe when it's off the road, you got a brother's back. And I can't even trip, cause I'm just laughing at you. You trying hard to maintain, then go ahead, cause I ain't mad at you. Mad at you. And cousins fighting, playing dozens, old neighborhood buzzing, knowing that we buzz it. Used to catch us on the roof or behind the stairs. I'm getting ripped and I reminisce on all the time we said. Besides pumping and grinding, wasn't nothing on our mind. In time, we learned to live a life of crime. We grind it back to a time was much too young enough. I caught a felony loving the way it guns bluff. And even though we separated, you said that you raised. Don't get nobody no coochie while I be locked up safe. I kiss my mama goodbye, wipe the tears from my lonely eyes. Said I'll return, but I gotta fight to survive. Don't shed a tear, cause mama, I ain't happy here. I feel trial, no more smiles for a couple years. They got me going mad, I'm knocking busters on their backs. In my cell, picking hell, I know one day I'll be back. As soon as I press down, I told my girl I'll be there. So prepare to get up down. The homies wanna kick it, but I'm just laughing at you. Cause you's a damn ass bitch, and I ain't mad at you. But from a nobody nigga to the big man on the block, he's Mr. Local Celebrity. Addicted to moving G, most hated by enemy. Escaping the luxury. See, first you was out working, but you made it. So the choice is made. Now we gotta re-ask why you faded. In a younger day, so full of pain when the weapons blade. Getting so high off that bomb, hoping we make it to the better day. Cause crime pays, and in time, you'll find a rhyme ablaze. You'll feel the fire from the niggas in my younger day. So many changed on me, so many try to plot. But I keep a block to stop my head, when will it stop? Shall God return me to my essence? Cause even as an adolescent, I refuse to be a convalescent. So many questions and they ask me if I'm still down. I moved up out of the ghetto, so I ain't real now. They got so much to say, but I'm just laughing at you. You just don't know, but I ain't mad at you.
MPH Radio is bringing in a new year, 2023, and we're asking all those who hear our voice to put aside all of the negative behaviors that we may have participated in last year, and to forgive those who may have made mistakes and may have not been kind to you. and struggle with them, because they are a bigger cause, a bigger struggle. We want to let you know we're not mad at you. We're going to unleash a new year with love and unity. And speaking of love and unity, there's a young man, Iman Jamil Alameen, who gave his life, who dedicated his life to try to make sure the African people will be free and be treated just and as equals. And as we talk about the political movement at the beginning of this year, we cannot make the mistake to forget about those who made conscious decisions to give up their individual freedom for the betterment of the whole group as a people. So at this point in time, we'd like to bring in our brother, Bilal Sunny Ali, who worked with the Free Jamil campaign. Iman, Brother Alameen, many of y'all may formerly know him as H. Rep. Brown, and we can't forget about him. So at the beginning of this new year, 2023, we'd like to get some updates on what's going on with him and the movement, and we can have Brother Bilal share that information with us. So we're going to welcome him right now and say Happy New Year to our brother. And will you share with our listening audience what's going on with our brother Iman Jamil Alameen? And more importantly, how can we stay connected and assist and help him to get that thing that we talked about earlier, freedom and justice? Because remember, this is a just cause and a just struggle. Brother Bilal, the mic is yours. Welcome to MPH Radio.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My name is Bilal Sunni Ali, and I'm the Amir. That's the administrative head of the Imam Jamil Action Network. And we are the advocacy arm of the campaign to exonerate and free Imam Jamil Alameen, who was once known as H-Rap Brown. We thank you very much for this opportunity, and we try to be as efficient with our time as the sister who was giving out the historical facts. So want to first say in terms of an update on Imam Jamil, the lawyers tell us that Imam Jamil's case, one of the main things in the case right now is that it's sitting on the desk of the Fulton County conviction unit. The Fulton County conviction unit is a new development in the whole justice arena in the United States. There's only about 10, maybe 20 at the most that's in operation. And it's an appellate degree. It's a review on the local level so that Fulton County people who were responsible for bringing the prosecution against them get a chance to look at the trial. And if there's any discrepancies in the trial, they can determine if their defendant should get a new trial or have their sentence reduced or be completely free and exonerating. We're hoping that that's what they will do. One of the things, there were many things that were left out of the trial, and in most appeals apparatus, you can only bring things forward that were brought up in this trial. So that's, to us, that's double talk. But the Convictions Integrity Unit can look at anything, whether it was brought up before. One of the things that was a glaring fact, a piece of evidence that the court was ignoring totally, was the fact that a person confessed on the shooting incident took place on the 16th of March. The confession took place on the 17th of March, early in the morning on the 17th of March. a man by the name of Otis Jackson confessed that he had did it, and this person, Otis Jackson, fit the description of the assailant that he's described. They were in a gun battle with. He not only fit the description to a T, just like the deputy said that they shot the person who was shooting at them, this person was shot. And when they went to his house, he had bloody clothes to prove it. He had lots of weapons. And so he's had a sworn affidavit to the FBI, has been on file since the 17th of March 2000. That was 4 days before Imam Jamil was even taken into custody. So this person has been investigated by the Conviction Integrity Unit. I was bringing all of that background information on it to bring this point out, that the Conviction Integrity Unit is able to look at this, and they investigated. They had an interview with this person within the last month, and they're conducting interviews and they're investigating the case to see if this Conviction Integrity Unit could deliver us the victory, just as the Manhattan Conviction Integrity Unit set those brothers free who had been accused for the last half century of shooting and killing El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, popularly known as Malcolm X. That's primarily what the news is legally in terms of Imam Jamil. The other news legally, before we get into what IJAN is doing, I want to talk about the fact that a political prisoner, Dr. Matulu Shakur, has been released from prison exactly 3 weeks ago yesterday. And we're happy to say that the report from from our own medical people and Dr. Shakur's own medical people who are presenting him treatment is that he is still very, very, very ill. But he is far from being on his deathbed, as they like to keep telling us that they were sending him home to die. He's been diagnosed as very severe, but he's responding. He's responding to treatment, and he's not in a wheelchair. He walked out of that prison. I'm very happy to say he walked out of the prison, and he was able to get on a plane and go visit with his mother. As soon as he got out of prison, and the next day he got on a plane and went to where he's staying now, where he is receiving treatment, where we get the report that he is doing much better. He's moving around. He's able to move around town. He's able to move around without physical assistance, although he does need medical attention. But he's not. He's not on the bed laying down. We have reenacted BANA, which is the Black Acupuncture Advisory Association of North America, which is an organization which Dr. Matulu Shakur started of some 40 years ago. And those of us who were involved then are still involved. And we had begun redeveloping this group. And you can check out our website at www.BANA, BAANA.org. Again, that's www.BANA, BAANA.org. Also want you to check out the website before we forget, www.ImamJamilActionNetwork.org. That's www.ImamJamilActionNetwork.org. So I gave you the things that we've done on behalf of Imam Jamil's legal situation. But one of the things he told us to do, our primary instruction as Imam Jamil Action Network, is to continue to raise his name in ways that will help forward our struggle for liberation, in ways that will strengthen and heighten our level of struggle and heighten our awareness of struggle. One of the things that we just did, we just completed 6 days of a Freedom Fighters Film Festival, which IJAN organized with other organizers in organized in 6 different locations across the South. And you can, if you check out that website, it'll take you to that. One of the things, another thing that we've been working on for the past year is the development and of the CryptoPro Full Disclosure Act, which is a, which is a, an attempt to get the CryptoPro Full Disclosure 2998 Act is the attempt to get it on the floor of Congress. It has been introduced by former Black Panther member Bobby Rush in Illinois. His term finishes this year. He doesn't intend to run again, but he's presented this to Congress 2 years ago, and the coalition is to get your congressman to support the bill to get it on the floor. Our other endeavor that we're doing in regard, besides getting it, moving the bill along in Congress, is to have exposed CryptoPro discussions through webinars and live whenever possible, expose CryptoPro discussions. So we have a series of discussions in the community and on and virtually where people discuss the effects of CryptoPro on our organizing and on our family life and on our social life, etc. So these are the that's another way that we say it's important. It's important to raise the issue of getting him out and being able to deliver you information, but we're also doing the work of bringing you some organizing on the level that that his model of organizing, that his whole pattern of life organizing suggested. So those are the two, that's the thing we intend to continue with the Freedom Fighters Film Festival. It featured the Freedom Fighters, Ella Baker, Fannie Lou Hamer, Malcolm X, Ilhaj Malik El-Shabazz, and Imam Jamil himself, Imam Jamil Alameen, formerly known as H-Rap Brown. We have featured, so it will continue, and one of the ways it will be continuing is at the Selma Bridge Crossing Jubilee in early March. We'll be there having we'll be having some discussions on these issues in the Selma Bridge Crossing Jubilee, because a very important part of that march from Selma to Montgomery was to walk through Lowndes County. And so we'll be featuring a film titled Lowndes County, The Road to Black Power.
And let me just stop you right there, Brother Bilal, because we do have our sister from Cameroon and our brother John Sandback and Sister Shirley Hudson from the Indigenous Movement. They are in the queue now. If I could ask you to just briefly give us some kind of reinforcement again. What can the people do to support Jamil? And how can they make financial contributions? Because I know this legal work is very extensive. How can they do that in closing?
Yes. Please go to our website, www.imamjamilactionnetwork. That's IMAMJAMIL. Action, ActionNetwork, and it will have right at the when you reach get to that website, you'll see a way to donate funds. There'll be prompts on there. It'll be visually easy to follow how to donate funds and how to not only how to donate funds, how to write to him, and also how to get involved in some of those projects that we talked about, the Freedom Fighters Film Festival, the CryptoPro Full Disclosure 2998 Coalition, and other human rights endeavors that we're involved in. They're all explained there at that number.
And Brother Bilal, we'd like to thank you for giving us an update on the status of Brother Jamil. We know this is a just cause and a just struggle. And when you talk to the brother, will you please give him the love for MPH Radio. And we'd like to thank you for your contribution to today's program.
We certainly can. And Imam Jamil says to remember that he thanks each and every one of you for having much and having little you've done toward his freedom and the freedom of other political prisoners.
All right. So we thank you, brother. Let's stay in touch. We're going to make this new year better for our political prisoners. You've been listening to MPH Radio, talking to Brother Bilal Sana Ali. He represents the New York Freedom Movement. And like he stated, go to the website. Let's support all our political prisoners. And we can't forget them this year, or we should never get them no year. But we want to do our share. We want to make sure this year will be a different year where we intensify the support for our political freedom. So after all, life is not worth living if you are not free. So let's make our transition to our next movement. We're going to bring in Sister Celine. Well, let's bring in the additional movement, Sister Celine. If you can hold on for a few minutes, we'll come to you next. But we'd like to go with our additional movement from the U.S. and throughout the world. And with that, we have with us John Standback and Sister Sheila Henson. They're going to briefly introduce themselves, and they're going to talk about their movement and what's going on. So, Brother John, stand back. We'd like to welcome you to MPH Radio. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Lee, Brother Africa. Always good to be on your program.
Okay, and do we have Sister Sheila as well? We'd like to welcome you and say Happy New Year to you to MPH Radio, Sister Sheila.
Hi, good afternoon, my relatives. It's wonderful to hear your voice and to hear all of these activists and the things that we continue to fight for. And it's true, you don't have a life unless you're free. So Happy New Year, everyone.
All right. Yeah, in terms of this new year, we talked about this question with a just cause and just struggle. Sister Sheila, we're going to start off with you as Indigenous in the Western Hemisphere. Talk to our people, update on what's going on in the Indigenous community as it relates to that struggle.
Well, we are continuing our fight to get Leonard Peltier out of prison. He's been in prison since way back in the 1980s for a crime he didn't commit. In Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. And, you know, he's getting to be old, like most of us are. And we want to see him come out of there. We want to see him be able to walk out and be free. And just recently, I saw where President Biden pardoned six people, I think it was, and some of them for murder. Leonard is in prison all these years for a murder that he did not commit. It was a political time, you know, when Indian rights, we were fighting for our rights. The government wanted to get rid of all of our reservations, and it was just a hard time out on the Pine Ridge Reservation, Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota. And we want to see him free. This morning, I have the honor to speak to his daughter once again for a couple hours on the phone and try to get some updates. You know, what can we do, especially after we see that Biden can go ahead, and how can you pardon other ones, but not Leonard? We don't understand it. All of these years, you know, back from 1993, we did the Walk for Justice for Leonard, and we had people from all over the world behind us, and we need to get that movement up and going again, put some more energy into it, and 2023 be the year that we see Leonard walk free.
And in fact, that 93 was the year that Sheila and I first met, and for those who don't know, for those who know me, you've heard me talk about our prison work. But Sheila, for the last 25 plus years, has been my primary partner with the work with the Indigenous Inmate Support Project. You know, we work with prisoners in the federal system. Back when Leonard was in Lewisburg, we would visit him times a year. And most recently, we've been working mostly in Petersburg Prison down south of Richmond. I think, Lee, I know that you're aware of our work, but I wanted to give Sheila credit for stepping forward and doing this work. The Native people in the Iron House are there because they're victims of the federal system. So if you commit a crime on the reservation, you're under the federal system. So Native peoples that are convicted of minor drug crimes, if they were convicted in a state court, they might get probation. They might get sent to a jail for a few months. In the federal system, they're thrown into the federal prison. And because of the nature of it, they can be sent anywhere. So there's about 120 to 150 Native prisoners at Petersburg Prison that we've been working with the last 10 years or so. And they come from all over, Washington State and Oregon and Nevada and Arizona, and representing many different nations. So this is a really, really important work, and I want to give Sheila full credit. The other thing, Sheila, I'd like you to talk about is the other work that we're doing at Thoroughfare, the Black Indian people of Thoroughfare. So could you talk with the listeners a little bit about the struggle at Thoroughfare?
I can, and we can go back to history to the 1700s in the state of Virginia, where Indian people were victims of pencil genocide. The policy was, there are no Indians in the state of Virginia. You are either black or you're white, but there was no Indians. So at that time, we were relegated to west of the Blue Ridge Mountains, and finally pushed even out of there back into West Virginia and in Ohio. And despite many battles and many fights, here we are today trying to recapture our traditions and the things that were taken from us, you know, the things that were lost. So there's a community very close to where I live. It's Thoroughfare. Years ago in the 1700s, it was called Ye Indian Thoroughfare. It was a trading center for many tribes. It became a black community, and of course became a black Indian community because of interracial marriages and just survival. So there were cemeteries there, and I use the word were. One cemetery that had 75 to 100 graves was completely desecrated, not once, but three or four times, and our state government stood aside and let it happen, even though we were putting up a red flag and we were busy saying, this has got to stop. They went ahead and let it go. It was a commercial property, a commercial business there that had wanted to expand their operation. So we're fighting that. We're fighting for the rights of two other cemeteries where the folks who still live there have for many generations were prohibited from even burying their loved ones beside of their relatives in those cemeteries. So we have moved to have some state legislation passed. Recently, we had two bills passed, and recently there's a third one which says that a person has the right to be buried in a cemetery if they have relations there. They can. So we'll see the outcome of that when the legislature goes back into session. But this is not a local conflict. As we got into this, we found out the same thing is happening all over this country, all over the United States, where developers come in and want the ground and are able to acquire it and desecrate our grave sites. This is important.
Usually Native communities and Black communities where community cemeteries are being obliterated. There's another one, the Moses Cemetery in Bethesda, Maryland, and we've joined together with the Thoroughfare Struggle. So, the point is, and the reason this is important is this is just a continuation of the 500 years of neocolonial genocide. And it puts all of us, it targets, people of color, it targets poor people, and it's basically an issue of, we need to stand together, we need to fight. And so one of the points I'd like to make is that historically, there has been a great friendship and solidarity between the African Liberation Movement and the American Indian Movement. I've been privileged as a settler, to be an ally in both of those struggles. And I would say that we used to say, same struggle, same fight. And that's where my head is at, that when it comes to oppression, when it comes to, imperialism and the excesses of capitalism, it's the same struggle, same fight. And we need to stand together. That's the key.
I agree, John. That's going forward into 2023, which I believe is our mantra, which is we all need to come together, one heart and one mind. So that's exactly right, John. That's where we're going to make it as human beings.
Sister Sheila, as a member of the United Tribes of the Senador, can you talk to us briefly a bit? What is the nature of that nation? Give us a little background on that.
I'm Shenandoah Shawnee. So my people have been in the Shenandoah Valley for a long, 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 long time, forever, it seems like to me. We in the state of Virginia, because of Pencil genocide, and also in probably the whole United States, I'm going to say, we were separated from our tribes. We were penciled out of existence, but we knew who we are. And I just want to say that our ancestors always and forever knows who we are. Even though we may not be able to find a paper trail, we know through our family oral history, we know who we are. So the United Tribes was formed to bring all people back to the circle. And like I was going to say, our mantra for 2023 is we are all one tribe. Come back to the circle, come together. This is the only way that we can make it as human beings.
Brother John, you talk about the importance to connect these struggles and fight as one as we look at the issue of fighting imperialism, capitalism, Zionism, all these systems, unjust systems. Our theme today is bringing in a new year, 2023, with a just cause and a just struggle. Can you just also briefly talk a little bit about the work that you're doing in the Far East, in Japan, and this whole question of the nuclear proliferation movement, non-proliferation movement?
So my late wife, Louise Franklin Ramirez, and I founded the Hiroshima Nagasaki Peace Committee, others as well, Josephine Butler, and Arjun Makajani and several others came together. And we felt that it was of the utmost importance that we remember the memory of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the horrors, the hundreds of thousands of people that were fried. And many of them lived for days and weeks. Many of them died of radiation poisoning over the ensuing years. And so we decided that we wanted to keep that memory alive. And that was in 81. And then starting in 1983, we developed a relationship, a fraternal relationship with the A-bomb survivors in Japan, in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And for every year up until COVID hit, we would welcome delegations of A-bomb survivors here, and we would send delegations to Japan to meet with the survivors. And one of the things that we did for about 12 years, from around the late 1990s until about 2014, was when we would send an adult, we would send a youth, a high school student or a college student, to Japan as well. And the idea was to introduce the younger generation about the horrors. And one of the things that I've been working on with the survivors over the last 5 and 6 years is working and talking with the children of the survivors of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, because they know their mothers and their fathers' stories. And so what we're trying to do is to get them to take up their parents' struggle, because their parents are, you know, that's been 73 years now. So the survivors are all getting old and they can't make these transatlantic flights anymore. COVID has had a big impact on mortality. So we're continuing to do this work, keeping alive the memory of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and also making the connection that the principal victims of the bomb, in terms of the tens of millions of people that have died because of the bomb, that was explained to us by Sister Rosalie Bertel in her book, No Immediate Danger, that most of the victims of the bomb have been indigenous peoples, whether it be the tribal peoples, the Berber peoples in Algeria, where the French exploded the bomb, or in Tahiti, where the French exploded the bomb, or in Australia, the indigenous peoples, where Britain exploded the bomb, or in the United States, the Shoshone people, the Treaty of Ruby Valley, Shoshone land, that was the nuclear testing site, or the Navajo uranium miners, or the Congo uranium miners, or the Dene uranium miners up in Canada. Over and over and over around the world, the principal victims have always been the indigenous peoples of Africa, of Polynesia, of Australia, of Canada, all over the world. So we need to remember that it's not just the people of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and it's indigenous people, poor people, working people all over the world, and that all of these issues that we're talking about, colonialism, imperialism, environmental destruction, genocide, they all come together, and they're all part of the same struggle. And as we fight our individual fights, we need to understand how these individual struggles are connected, and we need to make these connections, and we need it to be a unified fight and understand that it is one enemy, and we are one people, and when we work together, we will win.
You know, speaking of making new connections, going back to Sister Sheila, one of the issues that all oppressed nations face is that they don't define their own narrative. Like for the indigenous people in the Western Hemisphere and basically throughout the world, when you look at their narrative, they still try to paint the story as if indigenous people no longer exist in the U.S. and throughout the West. So what are the indigenous nation doing to change that perspective, that particular narrative? And how can we as oppressed African nation, as an oppressed African nation, help you in that struggle, Sister Sheila?
We, as a member of the American Indian Society, which is one of the oldest American Indian societies in this country, I think there's one other that's older than we are, and our talk has been education, and education of our young people. Very, very important to get these young people involved. The rest of us, like John said, we're not getting any younger. We're getting older and making these travels become harder. And we're trying to bring in our younger people and get them up to date and get them to realize, you know, not only what struggles we have made, but also the achievements that we have made over the years, but there's still a lot to be done. Now, the one thing that I want to say, we're talking about a new year, and Indigenous, we didn't go by this calendar that said January 1 was the beginning of the new year. We go by the planets and the alignment of the planets, and especially the moon. And we're under a wolf moon right now. Our new year doesn't begin until the new moon on the 21st. So on January 21st, we will be meeting at one of the reservations, Indian reservations in the state of Virginia, and we'll be celebrating our new year and getting rid of any old baggage we might be carrying from the year before and getting ready and strong to face the new year. So I just wanted to add that we go by what the planets tell us rather than what these calendars tell us.
Okay, right now I'm going to ask y'all to make a statement as it relates to, for those who like to know more about your movement, want to know how they can better support it. Can you share that information with our listening audience? Sister Sheila first, then Brother John.
For American Indian Society, go on AISDC.org on the web. You'll see pictures of things that we've been involved in, Indigenous Days in D.C., and John was also involved in that. And John gave me a lot of credit, but John is really the one that needs most of the credit. So, you know, just bringing the people together, and if you go AISDC.org, and you'll see what we're involved in. In November, we were asked twice to go to the Pentagon, and we actually did ceremony there two times. The last one was with a protection agency, which is one of the most sophisticated security agencies in the world, and we were able to do that ceremony. So knowing that those things are important, you know, and the other discussions that we're having is Western technology and Western medicine as opposed to the traditional herbal medicine and the traditional healers, you know, that we have and have great ones. And so that's a discussion I think that as we go into the new year, there'll be more of how do we bring those two elements together to help those that are in need, to help those that need help health-wise. So a lot to think of and a lot to accomplish. And thank you so much for having me on this program. I really appreciate it.
And John, how can they get in touch with you and find out more about your movement?
Well, two contacts, Brother Africa. One is go to on Facebook, go search for the Coalition to Save Historic Thoroughfares. We've got some really good videos up there. That there's also a link to the GoFundMe page because it's in the courts now, and we've got good lawyers that are taking a big discount, but the expenses are high. And then the other site to go to is HiroshimaPeaceCommittee.net, and that's got a lot of good videos up there, a lot of good articles, and some really outstanding photographs of the struggle over the years. So, again, I'd like to thank Brother Africa, Brother Anthony, and let's work together in this new year, and let's stay strong.
Okay, I know y'all have to go, but if y'all can give us a few more minutes, that'd be good too, because what we're going to do right now, we're going to make our transition to Africa to our sister Celine Naya from Cameroon. And right now, if I believe, we're speaking to her from Burundi. But we will speak with her, and then we have some people who line up who might have some questions or comments they'd like to make. If you have to leave, we understand, but if you got a few more minutes, that would be great. So right now, this is Impact Radio.
I'll stick around at another 20 minutes or so.
Okay, that'd be excellent.
Yeah, I can hang in there. I'll hang in there too, John.
So far, we have Indigenous. We still have Jamil Alameen, Representative Brother Bilal. And now we're going to bring in our sister, Celine Nayo, from West Africa, Cameroon, which I understand she in another country in Africa. We're going to bring our sister in, Sister Celine, and welcome her to MPH Radio. Happy New Year 2023. Sister Celine, briefly, where are you at?
Hello.
Yes.
Happy New Year. Hello, are you hearing me?
Yes, we can. We can hear you. What? Happy New Year to you. My sister,
okay.
Where are you right now? Tell us what's going on in your struggle, in your movement.
Oh, I'm just so happy to be amongst you this evening in Cameroon. It's already in the night. You in America, you are in the evening. No, in the afternoon. So we are already in the night. I have been waiting. I have been following up what everybody was saying. But I want to say that life is a struggle. This life that we live on earth is a struggle. And in Cameroon, we are there struggling with life. At least the crisis that we're suffering in Cameroon has started subsiding because most of those sponsoring the boys who were fighting the government were in America, and they've caught some of them, and they're in court by now. So the crisis has started subsiding in our country. We are struggling. In fact, the crisis has led our people into abject poverty. When I say abject poverty, I mean what I am saying. Because you can find people who cannot make even $1 within 1 month. Because the roads have become bushy. The few farm-to-market roads that the government had opened in the past, they are bushy now. You can't even pass. Those who lived on cocoa and palms and bananas and plantains, there is no market that they can sell. There are no routes, so they don't have buyers. Then climate change too has come and affected the cocoa farmers very badly. So this year, even those who are planting Irish potatoes, beans, and other cash crops, everything has been damaged by climate change. The climate change is affecting our people very badly, easy back in the Cameroons, because especially in the northwest and the southwest region. Since people ran into the bushes, some left their comfort zones, their villages, and went to the eastern part of the country to look for refuge. It's not easy. The women that are there struggling. We have children who cannot go to school. For example, I have a girl. She's living in my house now. Because this girl, since she went to school, she has been taking tests from nursery school to primary school to secondary school to high school. She has always been first. She passed her GCE very highly, the advanced level. She wrote a medical exam to go into a medical university. She didn't pass, not because she is dull, but because the children are many. They are selecting the children of the rich people. This girl is an orphan. She lost the father about 8 years ago. It's the mother who has been struggling with her. So the girl is as if she was to become confused in life. I just took her in. She said, me. She said she wanted to be a medical doctor. That is her vision. So her matter is really troubling me. I don't know how to handle it, but I'm just praying that it may be somebody can find a scholarship school that we can send her there to study her medicine. That's the desires of her heart. She's a very quiet girl, very intelligent. So we have those problems, so many. There are so many children who cannot even go to school because of the crisis their parents cannot afford. They cannot afford money to send them to school. The parents are really alive, but they can't because they are in abject poverty. There are some who have really lost their parents. They don't even have parents. Some are having one parent. Some are having no parent at all. So I don't know how to put it, but it's not easy with us in the Cameroon. It's only God who is sustaining us. The government has come up with a project which is trying to help the families. Tell me if the government come in one family and give you 20,000 francs. 20,000 francs is what in one family? I'm not talking of $20,000 francs. That is about $4. So it's not easy with us in the Anglophone section of the country. That's what we are going through. I tell you, it's not easy. Even this year, I had stress. I had nerves. I was sick for 3 good months. Because I don't know, God has given my heart to take care of people, to take care of human beings. And when I see things are not going, I just begin to think and think, and then before I discover, I found myself in depression. It's not easy. Because I feel like carrying the whole work on my head, but I'm not able to do it. So I'm just praying that God should help me so that I should not be carrying things in my mind again. Because I developed high blood pressure. The doctor said my heart was big. And the whole cause was because of too much thinking that I became depressed and felt very sick. So my brothers and my sisters, I want to say that always think of us in Africa, because it's not easy in some of the parts of Africa. Some countries, they are fine. Those countries which are not in experiencing war, they are fine, at least. But those of us who are inside crisis, inside war, it's not easy. It's really, war is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. War is very bad. I used to be a big farmer. My in-law called me last time and told me that all my cocoa has dried in the bushes because there's nobody to clear the bush. It's in the bush. Nobody's working there. So everything is bad. You can imagine 5 hectares of cocoa that has gone bad for me like that, rendering me also poor. But I thank God that I'm still alive. God is faithful, and he will always see his children through.
We like everyone with our patience to stand with us. We are having problems with our technical board. It's beyond our control. And like always, when you're trying to do positive things and you fight for your freedom against those who seek to want to continue to dominate and oppress you, this is part of the struggle. So we do apologize, but the reason we're disconnected, we're beyond our control. But right now, I think we're back in. So what we're going to do, we still have John with us and some other people. We're going to take a station break with music with a message. And when we come back, we will continue discussion and we allow you to make your comments. Today, January 2023, our theme is Bringing in the New Year, with a just cause and a just struggle. This is MPH Radio. We'll be right back.
Living on the front line.
glad to welcome you back to MPH Radio. We apologize for the abrupt disruption, which was outside of our control. And we say all the time, wherever there is oppression, there will be resistance. And we must continue to find creative means where we can develop information and use this information to help liberate our people and humanity. Today, we are bringing in the new year 2023 with a just cause and a just struggle. Before this disruption, we had Sister Celine on speaking. We will ask her to speak to the nature of, briefly, her organization and how it's having an impact, particularly on the issue of women oppression in Cameroon. Celine, can you just tell the people a little something briefly about your organization and how they can stay in contact with you and support it? Then we'll go to our comments and questions for those that have been waiting so patiently. Sister Celine, the mic is yours.
Thank you very much. There was a network problem, and then my phone ceased. So I was struggling to launch back again. Before I ended, I was saying that my organization is called Mundani Believing Women Association. We try to empower the poor village women. We train them on income-generating activities. Because of that, they are also, adding to that, they are also farmers. Farming is their main activity. That's why I struggled to write a project for them to an a Saudi Arabian NGO project in Cameroon called AIVDP. And they gave them two machines for garri production. The government has come up with a project on local flour production. I have registered them in this organization, in this project, and we have written a project. We are looking for funding so that we can buy improved cassava cuttings and also rent land, since in Cameroon women don't own land. If your husband does not have land that you can just begin to use as your husband's property, you have to buy land or you rent land before you plant your own crops. So we are looking for funding, which we can loan land or buy land for this cassava production. The government wants cassava flour, plantain flour, and potatoes flour. The women organization, because of this crisis, they launched themselves also into sponsoring needy children. We are not many. We are 30 of us. We are not many. This type of organization, when you just take in everybody, it will not be easy to handle. At least those that can contribute, let me say, a dollar when there's a problem. You can't just gather those who cannot even contribute anything and say, oh, come and join our organization so that it should be big. So there are the women that can at least afford something little to support. That is the work that our women are doing. But I continue to say that we don't have roads now. There are no farm-to-market routes. The roads are bad. If somebody can help us in Africa, it's road infrastructure. We need schools. We need hospitals. That is the work that we are doing in Cameroon. It's not easy. I've told you people what I have passed through. For 3 months, just because of thinking on the lives of children, of the lives of children and the women, the widows, the poor women, the poor children, the crisis. But we thank God that it's subsiding. And I believe that in about 2 years' time, I should go back to my house and begin to do my work.
Okay, Sister Celine, we hear your call. Just brief it quickly. How do they get in contact with you? Then we got to open up their lines for our people who've been waiting patiently.
Okay, my email address is Abute. The email address of the organization is abuteh11@gmail.com. That's the email address of our organization. And then my personal email is Naya, N-A-Y-A-H, Celine, C-E-L-I-N-E, @yahoo.co.uk. Our phone number is +237 677 33 2145. 677 33 2145. That is 011-237-677-33-2145. 011 is the African number. Our state's number is 237. Yes.
Okay, we're going to pause right now. Let's bring in those who've been waiting patiently. We still have with us Celine from Cameroon and Brother John Steinbeck on dealing with the indigenous movement. Any question or comments you would like to make as relates to our theme today, bringing in the new year 2023 with a just cause and a just struggle? We are going to our co-host, Brother Alex. We'd like to say again, Happy New Year to you. We welcome you to make any comments or questions that you would like to share with this listening audience as relates to what you have heard on this program so far. Brother Alex.
All right. Happy New Year to everyone listening today, because I've had a wonderful, wonderful time. This has been amazing for me to learn so much information and so much facts for so many people. And we're talking about people from all over the country and world. So we are really getting fed some information. I please, please take this to heart, because this is information we may not ever get a chance to hear again. So let's contact these people. They've given us their numbers and information. And if you have further comments or whatever to them, I'm sure they will be answering. And I would like to go back, because it is just so much here. I almost believe there's so much here today. But the conviction of H. Rap Brown and Stolly, I don't know if he's still on or not, but I was also puzzled that through his conviction and everything, was it because his association with the Black Panther Party? And how much is that still playing in him not being released today? Because it's ridiculous to have this brother still in jail. And you have others who've came forward. So there's a lot of information here, and I hope he gets justice and released. And then I would like to go to Mr. Steinbeck, and it's just been amazing what you presented to us today. I sent my daughter. She went to college over there in Japan, and it was a wonderful experience. She got a chance to be at the Peace Bell, so, and even with other Japanese students and all. And they told her a lot about the history of the build and everything. And she just enjoyed her stay there in Japan. It was just wonderful. But Mr. Standback, I would like to know, since these are world powers now, from China, Japan, Korea, and different ones, and Taiwan has always been there, the Philippines and all, these are trading partners. Can we, as African Americans, blacks, colors, Africans in Africa, are the doors open to trade and networking so that we can continue a good relationship with these Asian countries and provide our wares, not only just our music, but our wares, things that we create and we can trade with them in business. And Ms. Hansen, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful, oh, you touched me so, oh, my God. It is just amazing because there's so much about the Native Americans that we do not know and their kinship and fellowship with the African American nation itself. I myself am a member of the Native American Association Society. So it is a wonderful experience to go out and see the powwows and see history before any European was on their soil. The different dances and everything, the culture there, is just amazing. But again, how do we keep restoring that so that history is not lost? Because right now we have some beautiful displays at museums and all, but it seems to me that because of the COVID-19 epidemic, a lot of the powwows are canceled and all. So how do we move forward and making sure that these festivities continue? And last but not least, Cameroon. Oh, my goodness. Sister, you have done a wonderful job of telling us about how war has reflected into your life. Because that's one of the things sometimes we take for granted, that we don't understand what someone else is going through because we have not had war on our homeland except for the Civil War. So you have a different perspective of going through something like that. But again, how do we contribute as African Americans here? What can we do to support you in your cause and making things better for the natives of Cameroon and making us understand that this would be a good place to vacation and also enterprise with through business. So if anyone can answer anything I got there, I appreciate it. And I thank you ever so much, Mr. Lee. You've done a masterful job today.
Brother Alex, this is John Steinbach. I really appreciate all your comments. I think that I know that Sheila Hansen had to go off, and I believe that the brother that was talking about Imam Amin, I think he is gone as well. So I'd just like to point out that there are a lot of political prisoners out there. I'd just like to direct listeners to the Jericho Movement. I know they have a website. Sheila and I talked about Leonard Peltier. I've been involved with the movement to free Mumia Abu-Jamal almost from the point that he was arrested. And there are many other political prisoners out there. So this is a very important issue. The Jericho Movement is doing really good work. So I'd recommend people go to the Jericho Movement and get involved. I'd also like to comment that the song we heard during the break, Living on the Front Line. So it occurred to me, you know, the front line is Cuba. The front line is Ecuador. And the front line is Cameroon. And the front line is Palestine. But the front line is Richmond. And the front line is Thoroughfare. And the front line is wherever we are. And that's the important thing in terms of the struggle. We used to say, think globally, but act locally. I think there's something to that. So regarding the issue that you brought up of trading partners in the Pacific, and you talked about Korea, and you talked about Japan and Taiwan and so on. And, you know, the point is that when we're talking about Korea and Japan particularly, also to a great degree the Philippines, we're talking about U.S. militarily occupied territories. The U.S. has the largest concentration of military bases in Japan and especially in Okinawa. Hundreds of thousands of troops, Navy troops, Marine troops, Air Force, Army, and they're all there. There's a new government in Japan that's very reactionary, and it is actively involving the Japan Defense Forces into the NATO organization, and we're seeing NATO starting to exert itself all over the world. It started in Yugoslavia, and then it was Libya, and now we're talking about surrounding China with the military bases, with NATO being in the vanguard of this. So it's a new era of imperialism. It's a very dangerous era, but we do have a countervailing trend. So we have the BRICS organization, and I was just an hour ago reading something from the Indian press about the new BRICS and Lula being the new president in Brazil, and Brazil and India and South Africa and Russia and China all working together to build an alternative to NATO and to the so-called West. Our friend Arjun Makajani, when he's talking about what we used to call the Global South and the Third World, he says, well, that's the rest of the world. That's the majority of the world. The majority of the world is not NATO and Japan and South Korea and Taiwan. The majority of the world is the rest of the world, and the rest of the world is starting to come together, and they're saying, no more. We are not going to have neocolonialism anymore. We're not going to have you coming into Congo and using child minors to poison them and work them to death so that we can have our iPhones, and the workers in China that have to make them, and the young women that lose their eyesight. You know, we're through with this. And it's time that the United States and NATO and the allies in the global north, who have been benefiting from the rape of planet Earth and the rape of the people of planet Earth, need to understand that this is a new era, and there needs to be equity, and there needs to be sharing, and that there will be sharing, that a new day has come. So hopefully that is an optimistic message. And then Sheila is no longer here, but as a settler and as a supporter of the American Indian movement, I can tell you that, and you know this better than anybody does, Brother Alex, you know, a lot of Indian people have black blood and have white blood, and they are native peoples. And just one final word would be that the best museum exhibit that I ever saw personally was the Indivisible exhibit at the Museum of the American Indian Movement, and talking about the indivisibility of black people and Indian people. And it was truly inspiring. And some of my dearest friends were the curators most responsible for organizing that. Penny Williams, who often appears on this show, and then Sister Gabrielle Tayac. So I just want to thank you for your thoughtful questions, Brother Alex, and Brother Africa, thank you for your hospitality.
Okay, next, Sister Celine, can you succinctly maybe give some more concrete evidence of how people on this end, the communities in the U.S. and elsewhere, African brothers and sisters, can better serve as a supporting base or making the situation in Cameroon better? That was the question to you. How can we support y'all?
I want to say that unfortunately, because of lack of means, we don't have a website. And what we are going through, I've told you that the women are mostly farmers, most of them don't have farms. And with a government project, we need to rent land. before we can cultivate the cassava and the plantains so that we can begin to supply to the government who processes it into flour so that the women can have money. That's the project that is lying ahead of us for now. And secondly, the project of sponsoring the needy children in school. Those are our two projects that are on our neck, on our head, that we think about it every day and every night. I think anybody having our support, Brother Lee, I know him very well. I've been working with him since 2001 precisely, that I met him in November 2001. I've forgotten the month, but I met him in 2001. And we have been together till date, I think 22 years ago. I'm still there. I believe that we are Africans. And if somebody wants to help us, God will tell him or her what to do. Because I know God speaks in a way that we do not understand. I know God speaks in a way that we do not understand. Let me tell you a story, what happened 2 months ago. I was very sick. In my sick bed, one of the children called me, "Mama, the teachers have said that if I don't pay my school fees, they were going to drive me out of school." I told him, "I am sick and I don't have money." The next day he called again. I started praying. I told God, "I don't know. You are the one that has given me the burden to take care of these children. Look at me. I'm depressed. I am sick because of them. This one is troubling me, asking for money for school fees. Where will I get it? I don't even have money to buy my drugs. How am I going to go about it?" And the Holy Spirit told me to call one sister. She has a little NGO there in America. They helped us last year with $400. It was, "Call her." I said, "No, I don't want to begin to call people and tell them that they should give me money." I said, "I don't know how I would tell her, how she will feel." She's a young girl. She has just gone to America. She's not having money. Guess what? In the morning, when I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I was still in bed. She called me and said, "Mama, how are you? How is your health?" I said, "I'm still this sick." She said, "What about the children?" I said, "Yesterday, the Holy Spirit was telling me to call you because they want to drive one of them out of school. But I was afraid to call you because I don't want to begin to beg." Told me, "Mama, I have something little. It's very little. My NGO has produced just something very little, but don't mind, just take that one. I'd like to partner with you for the education of those children." She sent me 100,000 francs, Cameroon money. That was $200. I paid the school fees of that child, and I still gave part fees to other children. So I want to say that anything that God lays in somebody's heart to help the needy women, to help the needy children, the person will support us. If you want our bank account, can give you our bank account. I can send it to Lee and you will send to those who want their bank account. Anything that they have, they can send in their account. It will help the children. In future, when this crisis ends up, we'll have to build our cooperative where we can begin to sell our things as a business and begin to raise money to carry out the projects. But for now, the women are doing farming, and then we are raising funds to sponsor the children and also to write the project. As I have earlier said, that I wrote a project on the cassava machines for the women. Those are our needs now in Cameroon for the women. in future when we have roads, we'll need a vehicle to begin to transport our products. But now, they have started digging one of our roads. It is not yet through, it has not passed through right to the headquarters where I was living. So they are still digging the road.
Sister Celine, we're going to have to stop you right here because we've run out of time. We've got two more quick comments. And for anyone who hears this program, they'd like to get in touch with any of our groups or organizations or members, please just email mphradio@yahoo.com and we will put you in touch with that particular party or organization. Just email us at mphradio@yahoo.com. So we go quickly to our next comment. We'll go to Carlos 7236. Happy New Year. Welcome to MPH Radio.
When you end up, you text it to me. I cannot keep it in my head. I don't have a pen. I just came out of the meeting that I told you. I don't have a pen. I don't have anything that I can write.
No problem.
So
just for me. Just send us the information. Mm-hmm. Anyone who want to get in contact with you, we will send you their contract. Okay? We can work like that.
Okay.
That will be logistics. Thank you very much. Caller, do you have anything
okay.
you'd like to
Thank
say?
You.
Comment 7236. 7236. 7236, your last four numbers?
Yes, I just want to say Happy New Year to your guests and your audience here and around the world, and to say thank you so much to Sister Sheila, to thy sister in Cameroon. I know they're struggling under the dictatorship of Paul, and to Brother Steinbeck. And it was just very enlightening. You know, we think globally, we act locally. I just want to thank you for a wonderful show. Thank you.
And we'd like to thank you for your patience and supporting MPH Radio, Carlo. Next, we'll go to the last comment. We'll go to caller 4298. Caller 4298. Happy New Year. Your comment, please. 4298.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. It's a very, very interesting show. I learned a little bit from each one of the participants, and it's been wonderful to be able to hear such enlightened people. Thank you.
Thank you, caller, as well, for your support and being a listener to radio. As the voice of MPH Radio, we're going to take a quick station break with music with a purpose, and when we come back, we'll make or receive a closing statement, a message to the community with Alex Joyner, and then we will give you some announcements concerning MPH, and from that point, we'll be looking forward and speaking to you again in 2 weeks at the same time, same station. So let's go to our station break with message with the music, and we will hear a statement to the community as Brother Alex will come forward, and then we'll close it out. This is MPH Radio.
Big teacher. And it seems nobody gets to study and learning but the teacher.
Because there is so much disinformation, disorganization, and when human beings are disorganized, they cannot think clearly. So one of the remedies to resolving those contradictions is for African people and oppressed nations begin to develop and write and fill in their missing pages of history, been omitted from the history book. If you don't know what exists before, you will have a hard time analyzing what exists today. So this is where history becomes very important, and this is one of the tasks and the role that MPH Radio seek to fill. So we come and ask you for your support by joining us. Become a supporter. Help spread the word and build this institution by having people to listen in every other week on Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, U.S. And our next program will be January 21st at 1 p.m. We also remind you that you have about 2 days left. Come and join MPH Radio along with African Awareness Association, and it takes its funeral ride. Tour to Cuba, honoring one of our co-founders, Emmanuel Joyner, but more importantly, to help fill in these missing pages between African people here and our brothers and sisters in Cuba. We must understand their realities, how it relates to us and the rest of the world, and get a better understanding. What a great way to bring in the new year 2023 by coming and joining us. So if you want to go, you must act now. You can email us at mphradio@yahoo.com or contact the African Wellness Association by emailing them at AfricanAwarenessAssociation2@gmail.com or call 804-549-7492 or 202-714-9435. Come, walk across that bridge and let's unite and continue to fill in those missing pages. Also, this coming spring, 2023, MPH will be doing their annual seasonal live radio, live television program on Comcast Cablevision. Stay tuned. We'll share more information with you. And we do have now open membership where you can come and join this family. We need your help. We need your support. If you'd like to become a supporter, email us and let us know. So those are our announcements for this program, billing for this program, bringing in the new year, 2023, with a just cause and a just struggle. We'd like to thank all our participants, from Brother Bilal to Brother John Steinbach, to Sister Sheila Henson, to Sister Celine, and of course you, the listening audience and supporters. So we will close this program out with a message to the community with Brother Alex Joyner, and we remind you that all views and statements that are expressed on this program are not necessarily the views that represent this radio station, nor its affiliates or its members. So in bringing in New Year 2023, Brother Alex, what message would you like to leave with our community? The mic is yours.
Thank you again, Mr. Lee and Susie and all our guests and everyone that made Missing Pages of History a success last year, and also to continue forward and make it a success every year. And to that effect, I would like to say that in some of the most crucial moments of life, we have to make important decisions. This would be the most important reason to give our wisdom, financial support, and even our own lives to make sure the principles of what we believe in survive. Man will always be locked in battles of right versus wrong, good versus evil. Taking a chance or staying put in decisions that will affect his life forever. The persuasion for the control of one's mental intellect, even his or life, is often a small care of the one that attempts harm to another. There are others, though, we call peacekeepers, who guard the ideas and institutes of man's freedoms from reckless mobs set loose by those who wield an uncommon influence of distraught anger and ruthless behavior. When we assume power of any kind, we have to respect first where the power comes from before we begin to wield it. A true leader leads by example of a good heart and a consciousness of faith that the direction of his orders will benefit all and not just some. When a leader begins, and give me just a second here. I'm so sorry. My computer messed up here. When a leader begins to divide and separate his forces, it is easier to be conquered by a challenger that may not have your best interests at heart. All battles are not a good fight. Sometimes we are led by others who have another agenda that will only profit them and their immoral interests. People can be enlightened and led to die for foolishness or corruption. A mob mentality is just what many join when they can't understand the truth before them. It is easy to lead someone when they believe a change is worse than what they're used to. There are the few that take a stand and realize the whole belief of what is right outweighs the politics of the day. To understand strong before imminent danger takes more than an ordinary man or woman. When you work for law enforcement, you take an oath to serve the citizens and protect the property of all. There's an unofficial order that goes out in law enforcement when the worst of the crest of an assault seems to be going the wrong way while standing before an angry mob, regardless of size or its intent. Before a formation is overwhelmed or a breach is made in a line of defense, an intense cry of hold the line is often heard for a last stand so that those being protected can move to safety. We witness their cries for help from the U.S. Capitol steps, hallways, and chambers. We heard the sworn servants' testimonies, and we realized they were in the fight for their lives on January 6, 2021. Hold the line on January 6, 2021, in Washington, D.C. Many of the law enforcement officers had no idea what awaited them. Many experienced the peaceful transfer of office from one president to another for years. They never seemed to care about the politics involved because their job was mostly ceremonial. They were there mostly to help members of Congress and their families find their way about the Capitol before the certification of electoral votes for the new president to take off of office a few weeks later. This event had taken place for hundreds of years, and they would tell stories to their children of how they witnessed the workings of the government. It was a day to make sure the uniform was cleaned and pressed, buttons and medals polished, and shoes shined perfectly to see their reflection in. This was a day that many officers felt proud to be an officer at the U.S. Capitol. It was a day that they might be seen on TV among Congress members and their families, along with other special guests, and everything had to be perfect. The vice president would be in the Capitol chambers, so extra attention was to be expected. Many of these officers could not wait to be in or near the Capitol building to ensure the safety and promptness of the ceremony was carried off without a hitch. The hugs and smiles they gave their families before leaving home was full of love and pride to be a law enforcement official on duty at the Capitol on January 6th, as history was going to be made that day. Truly, it was one of the worst days in American history. And if it hadn't been for their brave sacrifices, many more would have been injured or died. For 2 years now, we have seen the videos over and over about the assault on the Capitol of the United States. Upon the two-year anniversary, many have been tried and convicted of a planned insurrection by an ex-president, knowing he lost the election, but chose not to leave the White House peacefully. After telling over 30,000 lies during his administration, he doubled down on false claims of election fraud and a stolen election, which was proved to be false by his own appointed judges. Yet he lied daily to anyone who would listen and asked them to stand ready and stand by. He explained that January 6th would be wild. We were shown by congressional hearings and eyewitness testimony that planning and communication was constantly going on during the assault. Over 3,000 videos show thousands of incidents of violence against law enforcement and the Capitol building itself. For over 4 hours, the law enforcement officers of the many D.C. departments hailed the domestic terrorists at bay. We heard, hold the line, over and over again. as these officers were sprayed with chemicals, beaten with American flagpoles, fire extinguishers, pipes, clubs, crushed in doors, kicked and stomped unconsciously. Even during this vicious onslaught brought forth by the big lie of the outgoing, twice impeached president, the officers held the line until the vice president and the members of Congress were safely escorted from the Capitol building. The law enforcement officers fought overwhelming odds that day, but history will recognize them as heroes of the freedom of democracy. Some officers gave their lives that day as over 1,000 police were assaulted. Many spineless Congress members would later return to a broken, trashed, and feces-smeared Capitol building that had been ransacked by a wild mob heeding the commands of a disgusting former leader. The Congress members that stood strong with a vote of certification that Joseph Biden and Kamala Harris were the newly elected leaders proved that the mob had not done away with the votes of the people. The officers who held the line did so because when faced with great adversity, the true hearts of men come forth. They did not yield to a difficult situation. They knew it was beyond duty, beyond principle, and beyond common sense. They served and protected to the best of their training and ability. They remained steadfast to the task at hand, and we owe them a deep gratitude that money and medals could not repay. I do not know if the ringleaders would be brought to justice, as America often lets the worst of criminals go free by acquittals or pardons without consequence. We witness on TV and videos the worst of America as the Capitol was defaced and trampled upon. Please take a moment to think what 4 hours of a brutal assault where people actually wanted to kill you over a lie would be like. Abused and injured, these police officers returned to work the next day. Their faces and bodies were bloodied and bruised the day before, but they came back to guard freedom, ready to stand together and go through it all over again to protect the building we call our Capitol and to serve the men and women who work there every day. I thank all law enforcement members who repelled the attack on democracy. Dr. King said, our lives begin to end the day we become silent and things that matter. January 6, 2021 should matter to all of us so it never happens again. And I thank you very much, Mr. Lee, for a wonderful program.
And Brother Alex, we'd like to thank you for your message to the community. We'd like to remind our listening audience, we want you to join in with us and help us as a goal for this year, 2023, to reach over 200,000 listenership. And the only thing we ask you to do is to take this particular program and share it with your listening audience. If you'd like to have a link to this program and others, just email us at mphradio@yahoo.com. We will send the link. If you can use your social media networks and tools of communication to help build this program, this will be a great program for our oppressed communities. We must give our people information so that they can think and provide them with organizations so they can be more organized. And the more organized you are, the more effective you can be. We come ask you to join us and support us. If you'd like to be one of our members and supporters, just email us at mphradio@yahoo.com and let us know. But also, we come ask you to put on your calendar to join us at our next program on January 21st, 1 p.m. at MPH Radio. So as we close out this particular program, bringing in a new year, 2023, with a just cause and a just struggle, go and make that move right now and join us on this tour. We have 2 days left. Oh, yes, you can. So this has been another episode with MPH Radio. As the voice of MPH Radio, we would like to encourage you to continue to strive to go forward, ever, backwards, never. And as we stated earlier at the beginning of the program, under one of the concepts of freedom by Jackie Robinson, we want you to remember that life is not a spectator sport. If you're going to spend your whole life in the grandstand just watching what goes on, in my opinion, you're wasting your life. So let's come active and help build and support MPH Radio. Remember, we are here for you. We are here for all of you. So we leave you the words of Alicia Keys. We are here for all of you. This has been MPH Radio.
Sisters, we